This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Standing in the rain with his head hung low, couldn't get a ticket, it was a sold out show. Heard the roar of the crowd, he could picture the scene, put his head to the wall, and like a distant scream, he heard one guitar.
Morning it is. Get your head right, you will. Ben and Woods, we are.
It's National Talk Like Yoda Day.
I was wondering.
Yeah.
I mean, May the 4th was a while ago.
I don't just launch into it. I obviously wait for the day, National Talk Like Yoda Day. And that's today. Happy NTLYD to everybody out there. We are Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Rindo, the EP, executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Morning, good it is.
Good morning, it is.
Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, probably the closest thing to a Star Wars connoisseur on the show.
I am. I'm the resident Star Wars nerd. I'd love to hear Yoda having a conversation with Admiral Akbar, which I don't think ever happened to me. Actual course of the trilogy or nine movies.
Get a facelift, you will.
A guy has those jowls. My greatest fear in
Phil
life,
Henry over here.
My greatest fear in life is one day waking up in the mirror and looking like Admiral Akbar with the skin that just, you know, drags down and is loose.
But the only thing worse is when you get older and you clearly have tightened up your skin.
It doesn't matter.
Too much.
Who cares?
You look like the Jack Nicholson's
Listen,
Joker.
It's Batman. It's a needle that we all must thread. I would rather be seen and somebody go, ooh, he must have some work done, than, oh my God, look at that guy's jowls on his face. Like, I'm not going to go crazy with it.
Jerry Jones over here is ready to stay young into his mid-80s.
Listen, I'm going to fight it. I'm not going to fight it with every inch of my being. Like, I'm not going to dye my hair and things like that, Benny, but I mean, I don't want to be walking around looking like, you know, at Bo's high school graduation, like, dude, your dad has jowls that, like, hang over the side of his jaw. I don't want that, man. I don't want it for him. I mean, it's a thing. It's really a thing. It's not only about you, you know, when you have kids, it's about your kids. And I had one of those moments yesterday at field day. They did field day at Bo's kindergarten yesterday. So went out and volunteered, and it was awesome. You know, we got the class out and said hello, and got them all out to the field, and they had little lanes set up and ribbons and the finish lines and stuff like that. So the kids all ran. They did potato sack races. They did egg races, bubble races. It was awesome. They're having a ball. My son loves to compete more than anything in the world. He competes on who got out of the shower faster, who got their underwear on quicker. Oh, my socks are on faster. Look at me. I got my everything is a competition.
Where the hell I have no could idea. He have gotten that
I have
from?
No idea whatsoever. Maybe his mother, Paulie. I have no clue.
I don't know.
He's the most competitive human alive. So the guy that's like running the show says, hey, I'd like to, let's get the parents out here and do a parent race. I went, oh, my God. Now, if anybody knows me, has ever played ball with me or anything, I'm not what you would call fleet of foot. I run a little bit like Jerkson Profar does. The high knees, the hands swinging. Watching him run is like looking in a mirror. I know he's faster than me. He's also got like, I've got like 16 years on him too. So, you know what I mean? I'm 48 years old. But they call us out. They line us up in the lane.
So I'm not, I don't know who the other parents are, but if I'm just handicapping this race from a neutral perspective, I've got to figure there are some younger parents than you.
Correct.
In the audience. I'm putting you as, you're like, if this was the Kentucky Derby, you're like a 12-1 middle of the field sort of shot. You're not one of the favorites, probably.
I would say I was the oldest parent running.
Okay. So maybe like 20-25-1.
They line me up. I'm next to a guy with a beard, obviously. He's got a beard, because who doesn't in Encinitas? Who doesn't? He lines up next to me. I look over at him. I go, all right. He's also dressed head to toe in athleisure because, well, look where we are. And I looked at him. I got 50 pounds on him. I'm dead. I look down. I see another very fit dad. I'm like, all right, man, do this.
How many beanies?
No beanies. Oh, no beanies. Wow. Which surprises me because it was like 73, which is definitely beanie. That's about 15 degrees cooler than normal beanie weather in Encinitas. About 87 is where they draw the line. But I didn't see any beanies. I didn't see any vests. But we lined up on that line, man. And I looked over. And there's my little guy, dude, sitting there. Both hands like up to his mouth. Like, oh, God.
Nervous.
Nervous for me. And I looked at him, and I was like, all right, bro.
Don't embarrass me, Dad.
I was like, you got to get it, man.
You can hear your hamstrings already screaming.
Yeah, and we played Sunday, so my legs are a little banged up anyway. And I'm like, all right, bro. Life all comes down to a few moments. And this is one of them. And the guy said, on your mark. Get set. Blows the whistle, and I am out, man. And I am digging.
What's the length of this race?
I'm so bad with... Paulie, what would you call that? Maybe 90...
40 meters?
No, it's longer than that. They get the back shot there.
No, it's about 40 meters.
Okay, there you go. It's a sprint.
Maybe 30.
It's a sprint.
It's a short sprint.
Short sprint. So I'm jamming. Then you see me coming at the end, and I win it!
Leaned at the tape.
I leaned at the tape. They didn't...
You jumped at the tape.
Yeah, the tape was down, so I just jumped over the tape. Because it was up, and then they put it down, so I just jumped. And your boy comes out, beat the bearded guy next to me. Now, let me say this. I have never once, ever won a race. Never. In elementary school, in kindergarten, name it. I've never won a single race. To win that race yesterday and to finish, and I looked over at my son and he was like, I walked back around, he's like, he was so happy. And I thought to myself,
number one.
Yeah. And I thought to myself, holy cow, man, what a cool moment that was. Now, later on, so Cole said if I wore more Vuori, I'd be faster. I was in head to toe, so I don't know that I possibly could have been faster. But I go around, Bo's so happy. He's like, you did it. I'm like, I did it. And then I was like legit happy. Now, what I didn't realize in this video until I watched it later.
You're burying the lead here a little bit.
I'm burying the lead.
Congratulations on your win.
Yes, I'm burying the lead here. At one point, now Hannah's racing in it too. At one point, after I watched the video, I look and I see a mom absolutely scorpion.
That's not Hannah. Though.
That's not Hannah. Okay. You'll see Hannah double back.
In a black shirt right behind her.
Yep. Oh, yeah, there she comes.
Coming
and one of the moms goes down hard.
Now, Hannah's doing the old, you see it in like movies, like, oh, I'm going to stop and help this person that fell, and then they're going to pull my arm down.
Correct.
And then take off running.
So Hannah slams on the brakes, she goes back. But this mom went full scorpion. I mean, hit the ground, the feet go up behind you, and you're like,
oh.
So that was all. Listen, I definitely wanted to win, but I also am glad I didn't do that because Bo wouldn't be able to show his face at school. She said after, she goes, yeah, I think my daughter, I won't say her name, she goes, I think my daughter is, I've ruined kindergarten for her. I think that we can't maybe come back here. Now, again, I didn't see it until after. And then, I mean, she goes, if you're not watching on YouTube, I'm so sorry. She eats ass so bad.
Go subscribe.
So bad. Yeah, go subscribe. This is why you do it. But it was pretty amazing. She's so sweet, too. I felt so bad. And by the way, she's like a runner. She and her daughter ran like a marathon this weekend.
Just
caught an edge and just
going to go for a hole of some sort. I mean, this isn't the most pristine grassy track I've ever seen.
But I, honest to God, I racked my brain. I never won first place in a race in my whole life. Ever. No long distance, no short distance, no nothing.
No, I've never won a race.
Ever.
So I'm proud
of you. I was
incredible.
Pretty proud of myself, dude, because when I lined up next to him, I went,
Cash your long shot tickets.
Yeah. When I lined up next to him, I went, well, look at these guys. These guys are way more athletic and young. It's the youth, you know? But I wasn't fast when I was young, so it felt good. Bo had a great time. It's field day was so fun. And I think it was also paralyzing for some kids, too. And I try to remember that as well. So I was trying to be supportive of all the kids out there that weren't, like, super excited to be out there jumping in a sack and things like that. But it was pretty cool, man.
We are in such different stages of parenthood.
Yeah.
You're running races for your six-year-old. I took my newly minted 21-year-old out for a drink yesterday.
How'd that go?
On his birthday.
Did he get hammered?
No, he doesn't. I don't think he liked it that much. We tried to find something that he might enjoy.
Like a cocktail?
Yeah, we tried a mango slushy margarita.
All right, hold on. Well, so what was his experience? He turned 21 yesterday.
Not much, you know.
He's had a beer. A
couple of beers, you know, that he didn't really like.
Okay.
So
Beer was an acquired taste.
Then we went and I said, how about one of those hard ciders? Because he likes apple juice. And I thought,
I like apple juice.
And that one went down okay. I don't think he loved it, but that was better than the margarita.
I love you just pouring drinks down his throat. Find something you like right now.
He's got the rest of his life to experiment and practice and figure it out. But so, you know, when Bo turns 21, you'll be what? 63?
Oh, God, is that right?
Yeah.
63. Oh my God. Talking about that race I won at field day? Guaranteed. Talking about Bo, darling, mix me up another Manhattan, please. Dad. So, all right, tell me more. I want to know. So you got a mango margarita.
Yeah.
He didn't like it.
Didn't love that. Then
that's tequila in there with mango. That's not my favorite.
Yeah.
So tequila.
Had the tahine rim. It was kind of, you know, a fancier drink. Thought that might be good.
Okay.
A little sweetness, fruitiness to it.
So he tried that.
Didn't really like the tequila, I don't think.
Did you crush the rest?
Yeah.
Good boy. All right, then.
And then we had the cider. And then mom, because I was at work, they got a bottle of Veuve. And I guess he liked that okay.
Oh, he likes champagne.
Yeah. Champagne.
I promise you right about now, it's not feeling so good.
Not as good.
I remember the first time I had champagne. Oh, I was God. Like, this stuff's amazing. We can drink it all night. And the next day you're just like.
Have a headache.
It makes me, the thought of champagne makes me hungover.
I remember when my older buddy in college turned 21, and we needed something cheap. We went to CVS.
Yeah.
They had three bottles of champagne for $9.
Yeah, yeah.
Deal.
Crush it.
Drank
Freshenet or something.
That was as sick as I think all of us had ever been at that point. So
I'm trying to think of like the first thing I ever got absolutely bombed on was vodka. Stupid. Vodka poppers. You remember those? You take a shot glass, you put vodka in it, a little 7-Up, and then you put your hand over the top of the thing. Pop it, and then you don't really have to do it, but this is what you do. You pop it, and it fizzes, and then you slam it, and you think you're, you know, hot ass. Well, I mean, we had about 30 of those, because they're pretty easy to drink.
Oh.
It did not end well.
I had
the next day.
I think my first, like, really drunk night involved vodka. from Pinnacle. They have all the flavored vodkas.
Oh,
it was
no.
Pinnacle whipped cream with orange soda. It was,
it was an orange
creamsicle, bro.
It was delicious.
You didn't taste a thing. It was incredible. It's like, this is happening all night. Did not end well for
him. No, it doesn't. Oh, yeah, man. So he probably also learned a little lesson, too. If you mix cider and you mix tequila. Champagne, probably didn't drink a lot of the margarita, so it'll probably be okay. The sugar is what really murders you. It just murders you.
That was my first blackout. I didn't know. Yeah. I just didn't know about mixing types of alcohol together. And my buddy like won this open bar downtown, invited a bunch of us. It was all you can drink.
And you just started ordering
I was doing whiskey and Cokes. Then they ran out of like well whiskeys. I'm like, I'll do a rum and Coke.
Give me a Harvey Wallbanger. Holy Give me a Singapore crap. Slut.
I think
Singapore
you have to slang. Follow Sorry. That old mantra. That I don't think it's scientifically proven, but liquor before beer. In the clear.
Never fear.
Beer before liquor. Never sicker. It's what they say.
It's all garbage after a while, man. The older you get, it's all garbage. Anything you drink, you're like, nope, not agreeing with me. That's awesome, though. It's fun to toast your 21-year-old. Yeah, Bo will. I'm sure he'll wait till he's 21, knowing the kind of personality that he is. He is a good self-regulator. So he actually may. He's a very good self-regulator. But he's also six. So we'll see. There's plenty of time for him to turn into an even bigger turd. But it was a great day yesterday. So much fun. And obviously, Padres win a game yesterday, lose a game yesterday. But I'm not sad about it at all. Not even in the slightest. That was one hell of a series they just played in Atlanta.
We will set the menu for the Tuesday program coming up next. I will say we have a newly minted major champion.
Now, that's the second time you've said newly minted in the last 5 minutes.
That's true.
Which is very
newly
odd.
Minted 21-year-old and newly minted major champion.
Is this a new bit? All right, it's the newly minted Ben and Woods. We'll be right back to test the newly minted menu.
Traffic with Kelly.
Newly minted Kelly Danick.
Danick? All that newly minted traffic out there on a Tuesday morning on San Diego's number one sports station. Newly minted number newly one minted, sports number one. Station, 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour of Ben and Woods is brought to you by Prize Picks. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details.
Now it's day two of No Printer. How are you guys holding up?
Okay, I'm managing with the digital copy of the rundown that Paulie gives us every day. I know it throws you off a little bit to have to look at your screen and toggle between different tabs.
Yeah, it does. It does. Don't you like having the...
Sure.
You but run it through your fingers. I'll just be here. I'll pretend.
Occasionally, we're on remote and don't have access to a printer, so it's something that I've learned to deal with.
Yeah.
And it's okay. We'll be okay.
I just wonder.
We're going to move California forward.
I just wonder. I mean, I don't see anybody over there, like, working on it with wrenches and stuff.
The Konica repairman is not here yet at 6:24 in the morning.
I mean, all day yesterday, too, so. It's all right.
But we're going to press on nonetheless.
Okay. How's the ping pong table? Still in good work? It's working?
It's in functional working order,
good.
I believe.
Good.
Oiled.
Good.
Ready to
all
go.
All oiled, greased up, ready to go.
We'll deal, take a screwdriver to that.
I just broke my backpack. I had a Padres backpack, and I broke it, the strap. And so my wife dug around in the closet, pulled out the old. Now I am officially a company man. I have this Odyssey backpack that they gave me, and it is very durable. There's yours. Ben and I both carrying the Odyssey backpacks. So I like it. How do you like yours?
Mine's broken, but.
Oh, I was going to give you mine.
Give me that one.
So now glad I did it.
Now you need it.
I just remembered. I was going to give
the pockets doesn't close.
That's
anymore.
Why his face dropped when I said go, my backpack.
You were going to give it to me, you're using it. It's now your primary
Dang
backpack.
Dang it. I'm so sorry, Benjamin. Set it up for us. Big day here.
We've got a Xander-heavy program today. First half of the show, we will be talking a lot of Padres baseball, including the injury suffered by Xander Bogaerts in Game 1 of the doubleheader yesterday against the Atlanta Braves. Early reports were fairly positive, but he did not play in Game 2, so we'll certainly be keeping a close eye on that today and for the rest of the week with Xander Bogaerts. Finally, seemed like he's starting to swing the bat a little bit better. Even he said,
hit the ball hard, yeah.
I feel pretty good now. Hitting the ball, you know, with some authority and breaking out of what had been a season-long slump. And, of course, when you're going bad, that's the time that you get hurt. Diving for a ball in the third inning yesterday in Game 1 turned out to be important. I guess if you're going to get hurt, going back in retrospect and going, you know what, I probably saved a run.
Not probably. Yeah, he saved a run.
And
for sure.
It turned out to be the difference in the game, and we won it. So if you're going to sacrifice your body for something, that's something that you probably can at least go, well, at least it counted for something. And we didn't end up losing 11-0, and I could have just let that thing go into the outfield and been fine. So we'll talk Padres early in the show. We also have our regular features, Take on Woods and Don't Do This, in the 7 o'clock hour. But coming up in our 8 o'clock hour at 8:35, we are scheduled to be joined by Xander Schauffele off of his PGA Championship win at Valhalla in Kentucky on Sunday. It's been a while since we've talked to Xander. Obviously, he's done a ton of media the last couple of days. Saw a video of him and friends imbibing out of the Wanamaker
Champagne,
trophy.
Actually,
is that what it was?
Yeah, let's see if our theory holds water.
Celebrating, see how he's feeling today. Hopefully, he's enjoyed it though. Finally, got the shed the label of best player to have not won a major, and now up to number 2 in the world golf rankings, behind only Scottie Scheffler. So we will talk to Xander Schauffele at precisely, at least we're expecting, precisely 8:35 this morning. That means we will bump back our regular Jesse Agler Tuesday Incorporator to 9 o'clock. Jesse didn't seem to have a problem with going a little bit later after what was a very long day, followed by a flight to Cincinnati yesterday. Getting an extra half an hour before he comes on a Tuesday was A-OK with Jesse.
Saw a great tweet yesterday from It's Johnny SD. He said, the Padres last 30 hours. Sunday, 7:10 p.m., Game 1 begins. Sunday, 10:03 p.m., Game 1 ends. Monday, 12:21 p.m., Game 2 begins. 3:04 p.m., Game 2 ends. Monday, 6:21 p.m., Game 3 begins. Monday, 8:39 p.m., Game 3 ends. Monday, 11:16 p.m., flight lifts off from Atlanta. 12:14 a.m., flight arrives in Cincinnati. That's a very busy 30 hours for a baseball team. So they've been under it and on it a little bit the last few days. The doubleheader has just got to sap everybody. And now with Xander being out, you know, you're going to have to make some moves and figure out who's going to plug that hole, Benny. And I'll tell you, man, when he went down yesterday, I was super bummed. I really was. It hurt me to my core when I saw him go down and scream and wince in pain. I know he hasn't gotten off to the best start this season, but like you said, he's coming out of it. It was a hell of a play he made. It really was a hell of a play he made. And I like seeing my guys on the field. You know, I really do. And it's a time for somebody else to step up. But I think Luis Arraez stepped up in Game 2 and played pretty interesting and good second base for the most part.
A lot of sharp balls hit at him.
He really did. He really did.
In that game, and he acquitted himself very well. I mean, that's the position he's played more often than any other. So you certainly have a second baseman you can plug in there, but then you just have a designated hitter issue possibly as well. You get Manny off of his feet again,
but maybe
once or twice,
Peralta. Maybe that signing is.
And you've got Donovan Solano, yep. Although he's better against lefties. So we'll talk about it. The good news was the imaging done on Xander's shoulder after the game was negative, or during the game was negative, which means no visible damage at least. That now not every scan shows every possible bit of damage, so that's not a 100% clean bill of health. You're good to go. But the other good part that Mike Schultz said, he had some strength, range of motion.
Yeah.
Wasn't just completely like separated. Locked up or separated. They so far, cross your fingers, so good. Don't know whether that means Xander is, you know, out for a couple of days and they won't need to put him on the injured list. He could be back today. They may still need to put him on the IL. I think we'll get a lot more clarity when Mike Schultz speaks pregame today in Cincinnati before the opener to the three-game series.
Well, listen, man, I the one thing I was really happy about is it wasn't his wrist. At first, when he dove, I went, oh, my God, he rolled over on that wrist, and he's done. He's done. You know, he's had...
I wasn't sure it was the left or the right as he went down. I mean, both kind of hit the ground pretty hard.
But Tatis came running, put his hands on his knees and put his head down. I mean, these guys know, you know, they know. Wow. Tatis had one play later in the game where he ran into the wall, and... I'm looking at this going, get the hell out of here. Get out of Atlanta right now. Take your 3 of 4 and beat it and get on to Cincinnati. And that's exactly what they did.
Well, it was a series win. We will go back through the doubleheader, get you your Padres wrap up, and talk about both games coming up starting in our next segment. So don't go anywhere. More Ben and Woods coming up on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Is that Boomer, Paulie, just doing updates on just stuff that he sees on Twitter?
I think so.
What was the thing he just said?
That last one, the only reason I said that is it had nothing to do with anything currently really happening in sports. He listed the 15 NBA players by name, and then he goes, what do they all have in common? They're the top 15. They're the top 15 highest paid players in the NBA, but only one of them has made a Final Four. Rudy Gobert.
That's his update.
I'm Boomer Esiason. I'm like, who? What?
It's fun to just go through Twitter. And you can just read stuff that's on Twitter, and you don't have to, like, do any work. So I could, like, scroll my Twitter and be like, Woodsy, you got an update? Like, all right. A flawless resume and polished cover letter are critical for anyone looking to take the next step in their career. Put the finishing touches on yours with QuillBot's AI writing tools. I'm Stephen Woods, 97.3 The Fan.
Top 69 action movies, a thread.
Happy birthday to Mr. T, who turned 72 today.
The birthday bit's my favorite. My absolute favorite from
By the way, it is Mr. T's birthday, so.
Happy birthday to former Brave slugger David Justice. I'm Boomer Esiason.
Esiason?
He's in give up mode right now. It happens.
Happy 44th birthday to Gautier.
It's all deadly, my friends.
It's Judge Reinhold's birthday.
Judge Reinhold's birthday?
It is Judge Reinhold's birthday.
Love Judge Reinhold.
Beverly Hills Cop, Judge Reinhold.
Hi, Brad.
Big E would have been 52 today.
Mm. Why are we doing birthdays?
I don't know. Well, it's because, unfortunately...
Because we're Boomer Esiason!
Unfortunately, the rules of Padres wrap-up require us to play the highlights of the most recent game, apparently. Which, of course, was not the good one. So we're kind of stalling because as soon as we get back from traffic... You're going to hear the Braves shutting out the Padres 3-0. We don't have to belabor that one so much. And we will get into some of the good highlights of the first game yesterday, which was much better. But our Padres wrap the 3-0 loss in game 2 of the doubleheader is coming up right after this check of traffic with Kelly on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
Here's the 0-1. Albies lines it into left center field. That's down and a base hit. Profar's got to play it on a hop. Acuna will jog home. An RBI single for Ozzie Albies. And And as they did in game one this afternoon, the Braves strike first. It's 1-0. 1-2 is lined to left field. Profar charging, has to play it on a hop. That'll be an RBI single for Darnold as Ozuna now comes home to score the second Atlanta run of the night. Out of the windup, Vasquez delivers. That's hit hard in the air to deep left field. Oh boy. Profar just turns around to watch. It's going to go into the Padre bullpen, and Ozuna now has homered in both games of the doubleheader. The Brave lead is 3-0. There's the pitch. Kim swings, bounces it out to shortstop. Arcia gobbles it up, throws to first in time, and the Braves avoid the sweep with a shutout win here in game two of the doubleheader. Final score tonight, Atlanta 3 and the Padres nothing. Chris Sale kept him off balance. Randy Vasquez kept him in the game, but the Padres could not break through.
Yeah, we had good at-bats the whole series against some good pitching, and I thought Sale was really, really good. You know, change speeds, the secondary stuff was really good. The fastball had a life to it. Everything was good. We had some at-bats today. Had a chance, you know, grabbed a bag, you know, swing away from tying it at the moment. But, you know, just he pitched really well.
All right, so, look, I saw some people upset about our lack of offense in game two. And I just wanted to read this for you about Chris Sale. This is from Nugget Chef. I'd like to try those. Chris Sale is on an epic heater. He's the third pitcher ever to have a five start span with 43 plus Ks, two or fewer walks, and no more than two runs allowed. The others both happened in 21, Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer. So in the history of baseball, there are three people that have ever been on a heater like this. Chris Sale, also my fantasy starter. And so you look at your fantasy team and Chris Sale's pitching, and you're like, oh, wow, 28 points. Oh, wow, 30 points. He is lights out. And he was lights out yesterday. And I watched him throw, and I go, my God, he still has it, that thing, where he's massively intimidating. The arm slot that he comes from is dirty. His changeup was filthy yesterday. His slider was disgusting, and can still hump it up there at 96, 97.
Why did the Red Sox gave him away?
I don't know. I really.
What, Vaughn Grissom?
I think so, man.
Why did they? I know he had a lot of injury problems.
He was injured. Yeah.
But that means you can always hope that, well, once he gets healthy, he's going to be a great pitcher again. And they traded him right before. Apparently, he got healthy again, which makes no sense whatsoever.
Well,
but
the only thing I will say is that I don't know what Vaughn Grissom's going to turn into, if anything, but the Red Sox have really good pitching. But it's not like you couldn't use a guy like Chris Sale in every rotation. I mean, he is a true top-of-the-rotation guy again, you know, later in his career. Now, I know we don't like to tip our caps here. I'm tipping my cap. It's Chris Sale. Like, he's one I have no problem coming here and going, yeah, ran into a buzzsaw. None whatsoever. None, because I know we can beat guys like that. We beat Max Fried on Friday. Ended up coming back. Ronaldo Lopez did his job yesterday, certainly, and then some. But the Padres can beat pitchers like Chris Sale, but not when he's locked in like that right now.
That was how you do beat a pitcher like Chris Sale. You keep it somewhat close.
Yeah.
And then later in the game, you get some runners on, and you hope that you get the big hit, that it comes right there, the three-run homer. You get the big swing, and you find a way to win that game. They had the tying runs on base. They had the tying run at the plate a couple of times late in the game. They weren't able to get the big hit. They lose that game. Similarly, when they took Shota Imanaga and, you know, just waited him out,
yeah,
took the lead. They did not end up winning that game, but that's how you win against an ace, usually. It's not, well, let's just, you know, blow the doors off of this guy who's pitching great. No, it's try to keep it close, try not to let the game get out of hand.
That's what they did.
And hopefully, you know, win it against the bullpen late. And good job by Randy Vasquez. I know he gave up 10 hits. I know he was very hittable. It was not a dominating effort, but he gave him 6 innings. He gave up 3 runs. That's the definition of a quality start. He knew it was probably going to be his last one in the big leagues for a time, you know, assuming he's going back down to AAA El Paso today when they activate Joe Musgrove off the injured list. And with the doubleheader, they needed him with some length, had his longest start of his career, went out there, kept the Padres in it against an ace pitcher at the top of his game. You can't ask more out of a sixth spot starter.
No.
Than what Randy Vasquez gave to the Padres yesterday. He may not be a world beater, but that was a good effort by Randy Vasquez.
I'm not going to get up in arms about, you know, when taking 3 of 4 from the Braves at their house, which, by the way, the Padres have absolutely owned them at Truist Park since 2018. So they feel really comfortable there for whatever reason. Fine.
Feel comfortable everywhere except
fair enough. They really are. You know, we're going to put that to the test in Cincinnati again starting today. But no, it's a good point that you make, Paulie. Yeah, I really had no issue. How about Logan Gillespie coming in, getting called up, and coming in and getting huge outs too, keeping the squad right in it. Crony had a chance to do something late, didn't come through. It's fine. It happens. Manny had a chance to do something late, didn't come through. It's fine. It happens. Chris Sale was spectacular yesterday. So I'm just not going to get upset about it, especially after how the first game ended. Yesterday was such a big fat bowl of gravy to me, the second game. Just a big trough.
We don't complain about series wins.
I do not complain about taking 3 of 4 from the Atlanta Braves.
Just don't. Yeah, and they take the series. It's their fifth series won in their past 6.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's been consistent outside of the 3 games against the Rockies. It's been good, consistent play for nearly a month now.
You know the other thing, too? You guys felt it. I know you did. You felt it. You felt that, no, we absolutely are coming back. We are absolutely, they talk about, that's one of the messages that Schilt has preached. I know it's probably driven people crazy. Manny's preached it too in interviews. Keep giving yourselves opportunities to win the game, and you are going to win some of those games. It happened in game 1. It happened against the Dodgers. It happened a bunch. Hell, it even happened against the Rockies. Let's be completely honest with ourselves. They gave themselves plenty of opportunities in game 1 and game 2 to win. Game 3 was a turd, admittedly. And Mike Schilt came on the air Friday and said, yeah, that sucked, essentially. That one, he goes, I'm disappointed in. Game 1, game 2, you gave yourself opportunities to win the game. Last year's team, they don't even do that. There's no late rallies. There's no late push. There's no chance. They're not working
ABs.
The
general problem is obviously falling behind too often.
That's it. That's the thing. That's what's been killing them.
And you always point to starting pitching when that happens, and clearly it's been an issue. It's just the inconsistency. They've all had good starts, everybody in the Padres' starting rotation. Sometimes it's 1, sometimes it's 2, then they have a bad one. Yu Darvish is on a great roll right now. Dylan Cease was earlier, but even he, as he showed in game 1, is certainly not at the consistency level that the Padres would love to see from their starting rotation. You know, and you're not going to get consistent great starts every single time from every single starting pitcher, but so far it feels like there's been too many games where they're instantly facing 2-0, 3-0 deficits early in the game. And while they have come back on some of them and they've given themselves opportunities in most of them, you're still going to end up, like game 2 yesterday, losing a lot of those games when you fall behind early.
I mean, they're swing away. They're a swing away in the 8th. Swing away.
They were.
They were absolutely a swing away in that game. So it's not there. They didn't roll over for anybody. I'm very encouraged by some of the things I see from this team.
The two real inexplicable stats right now for the San Diego Padres, and maybe it's simply because it's fairly early in the season, although they're 50 games in now, a third of the way through.
Brett Boone, you know what you are after 50 games.
The home road splits are very unusual. Going 10-16 at home, 6 games under 500, 15-9 on the road, 6 games above 500. Wow. You don't see teams with better road records than home records that often in Major League Baseball.
Give me some Higgins math here. If they just played 500 at home, what would their record be right now?
They would be 28-22, 6 games above 500, and solidly in the second wild card spot in the National League.
Damn, we are almost a third of the way through this bad boy.
The other even more inexplicable stat, though, for your San Diego Padres. I calculated it yesterday. So they have played a total of 16 series so far this year. 8 of them have been against teams that currently have winning records. 8 of them have been against teams that currently have losing records. So you've played a real nice mix. You're 500, so you've played 8 teams that you should be better than, 8 teams that have been better than you. Against the 8 teams that have winning records, the Padres in those series have 6 series wins, 1 series loss, and 1 series tie. In the 8 series they have played against the teams with losing records, the teams that you should be beating, the Padres have 2 series wins, 4 series losses, and two series ties. They have been much better against the better teams in baseball and much worse against the worst teams in baseball so far this season. It's not just the Rockies, which is accounts for two of those, a split and, of course, the sweep loss last week. It's every single time now, teams that they have played better than, they play worse than, and teams that they have played worse than, they play better than. Doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, it really doesn't. It doesn't. And I think, you know, what you're going to hear, though, is, oh, we played down to our competition. Okay. I mean, I guess the record would bear that out, yes. Like, the record says that that's what you do. So until you can flip it.
Stop doing that.
So, yeah, it's pretty simple, guys. Just stop doing that.
Simply stop doing it.
Simply stop. If I were them, I would simply stop losing to bad teams. It's just that easy, right? So I know it's not that simple. But, yeah, man, those are the kind of things that you lament, right? Those are the ones that you sit on the front porch and scratch your chin and go, if only. Son of a bitch. If only
they had. Now, that's the question. It's not the home road split. If only they had played 500 at ball. Home. If they had just played 500 ball against the teams with losing records like the Cardinals, the Rockies, the Giants, the Reds, the Blue Jays, they'd be about 10 games above 500 at this point. Just 500 ball against the bad teams.
That's right. That's right.
They'd be cruising at this point, off to a fantastic start this year. All you'd have to be is mediocre against the worst teams. Now, you want to have a winning record against those teams. Those are the teams you're supposed to make hay against. You're supposed to have a winning record against those clubs. If you had just been 500, I think the Padres would be maybe 29 and 21 right now. If they had just played average, mediocre ball against the lower level teams through the first 50 games.
And like I said, those are the things that I think make this fan base the most insane. And I count me right there along with you guys. I mean, that there's no reason for that. I mean, you're better than these guys, and until you can flip that script, I think people will give you the label of you play down to your competition. And, you know, again, that's going to be put to the test this week against Cincinnati. And it'll be put to the test again.
The team that has not been playing well, they've dropped to last place in the NL Central.
Yep.
You already did take two out of three. It's one of the two series that you've won against a team with a current losing record. But can you do it again? You're on the road. You should be able to. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot to think about with this team, and until you flip that narrative, man, that's what the narrative is going to be, is that you can't win home ball games and you can't beat bad teams. Those feel like a couple of things that should just be there. Like, that should be expected to be at least be 500 against bad teams. We're not asking for 750.
It'd be disappointing to be 500 against those teams. That's not good. 500 isn't good enough.
In a normal season, yeah, you'd be bummed if you finished. Is that Boomer, Paulie, just doing updates on just stuff that he sees on Twitter?
I think so.
What was the thing he just said?
That last one, the only reason I say that is it had nothing to do with anything currently really happening in sports. He listed the 15 NBA players by name, and then he goes, what do they all have in common? They're the top 15. They're the top 15 highest paid players in the NBA, but only one of them has made a Final Four. Rudy Gobert.
That's his update.
On Boomer Esiason. I'm like, who? What?
It's fun to just go through Twitter, and you can just read stuff that's on Twitter, and you don't have to like do any work. So I could like scroll my Twitter and be like, Woodsy, you got an update? Like, all right. A flawless resume and polished cover letter are critical for anyone looking to take the next step in their career. Put the finishing touches on yours with QuillBot's AI writing tools. I'm Stephen Woods, 97.3 The Fan.
Top 69 action movies, a thread.
Happy birthday to Mr. T, who turned 72 today.
The birthday bit's my favorite. My absolute favorite from
By the way, it is Mr. T's birthday, so.
Happy birthday to former Brave slugger David Justice. I'm Boomer Esiason. Esiason? He's in give up mode right now. It happens.
Happy 44th birthday to Gautier.
It's all deadly, my friends.
It's Judge Reinhold's birthday.
Judge Reinhold's birthday?
It is Judge Reinhold's birthday.
Love Judge
Beverly
Reinhold.
Beverly Hills Cop, Judge Reinhold.
Hi, Brad.
Big E would have been 52 today.
Mm. Why are we doing birthdays?
I don't know. Well, it's because, unfortunately.
Because we're Boomer Esiason.
Unfortunately, the rules of Padres Wrap-Up require us to play the highlights of the most recent game, apparently, which, of course, was not the good one. So we're kind of stalling because as soon as we get back from traffic, you're going to hear the Braves shutting out the Padres 3-0. We don't have to belabor that one so much. And we will get into some of the good highlights of the first game yesterday, which was much better. But our Padres wrap the 3-0 loss in game two of the doubleheader is coming up right after this check of traffic with Kelly on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
Here's the 0-1. Albies lines it into left center field. That's down and a base hit. Profar's got to play it on a hop. Acuna will jog home. An RBI single for Ozzie Albies. And as they did in game one this afternoon, the Braves strike first. It's 1-0. 1-2 is lined to left field. Profar charging, has to play it on a hop. That'll be an RBI single for Darnell. As Ozuna now comes home to score the second Atlanta run of the night. Out of the windup, Vasquez delivers. That's hit hard in the air to deep left field. Oh boy. Profar just turns around to watch. It's going to go into the Padre bullpen. And Ozuna now has homered in both games of the doubleheader. The Brave lead is 3-0. There's the pitch. Kim swings, bounces it out to shortstop. Arcia gobbles it up, throws to first in time, and the Braves avoid the sweep with a shutout win here in game two of the doubleheader. Final score tonight, Atlanta 3 and the Padres nothing. Chris Sale kept him off balance. Randy Vasquez kept him in the game, but the Padres could not break through.
Yeah, we had good at-bats the whole series against some good pitching, and I thought Sale was really, really good. You know, it changed speeds. The secondary stuff was really good. The fastball had a life to it. Everything was good. We had some at-bats today. Had a chance, you know, grabbed a bag. You know, swing away from tying it at the moment. But, you know, just he pitched really well.
All right, so, look. I saw some people upset about our lack of offense in game two. And I just wanted to read this for you about Chris Sale. This is from Nugget Chef. I'd like to try those. Chris Sale is on an epic heater. He's the third pitcher ever to have a five-start span with 43-plus Ks, two or fewer walks, and no more than two runs allowed. The others both happened in 21, Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer. So in the history of baseball, there are three people that have ever been on a heater like this. Chris Sale, also my fantasy starter. And so you look at your fantasy team and Chris Sale's pitching, and you're like, oh, wow, 28 points. Oh, wow, 30 points. He is lights out. And he was lights out yesterday. And I watched him throw, and I go, my God, he still has it, that thing, where he's massively intimidating. The arm slot that he comes from is dirty. His changeup was filthy yesterday. His slider was disgusting, and can still hump it up there at 96, 97.
Why did the Red Sox gave him away?
I don't know. I really.
For what, Vaughn Grissom?
I think so, man.
Why did they? I know he had a lot of injury problems.
He was injured. Yeah.
But that means you can always hope that, well, once he gets healthy, he's going to be a great pitcher again. And they traded him right before. Apparently, he got healthy again, which makes no sense whatsoever.
Well,
but
the only thing I will say is that I don't know what Vaughn Grissom's going to turn into, if anything, but the Red Sox have really good pitching. But it's not like you couldn't use a guy like Chris Sale in every rotation. I mean, he is a true top-of-the-rotation guy again, you know, later in his career. Now, I know we don't like to tip our caps here. I'm tipping my cap. It's Chris Sale. Like, he's one I have no problem coming here and going, yeah, ran into a buzzsaw. None whatsoever. None, because I know we can beat guys like that. We beat Max Fried on Friday. Ended up coming back. Ronaldo Lopez did his job yesterday, certainly, and then some. But the Padres can beat pitchers like Chris Sale, but not when he's locked in like that right now.
That was how you do beat a pitcher like Chris Sale. You keep it somewhat close.
Yeah.
And then later in the game, you get some runners on, and you hope that you get the big hit, that it comes right there, the three-run homer. You get the big swing, and you find a way to win that game. They had the tying runs on base. They had the tying run at the plate a couple of times late in the game. they weren't able to get the big hit. They lose that game. Similarly, when they took Shota Imanaga and, you know, just waited him out, yeah, took the lead, they did not end up winning that game. But they that's how you win against an ace, usually. It's not, well, let's just, you know, blow the doors off of this guy who's pitching great. No, it's try to keep it close. Try not to let the game get out of hand.
That's what they
did. And hopefully, you know, win it against the bullpen late. And good job by Randy Vasquez. I know he gave up 10 hits. I know he was very hittable. It was not a dominating effort. But he gave him 6 innings. He gave up 3 runs. That's the definition of a quality start. He knew it was probably going to be his last one in the big leagues for a time, you know, assuming he's going back down to AAA El Paso today when they activate Joe Musgrove off the injured list. And with the doubleheader, they needed him with some length, had his longest start of his career, went out there, kept the Padres in it against an ace pitcher at the top of his game. You can't ask more out of a 6th spot starter.
No.
Than what Randy Vasquez gave to the Padres yesterday. He may not be a world beater, but that was a good effort by Randy Vasquez.
I'm not going to get up in arms about, you know, when taking 3 of 4 from the Braves at their house, which, by the way, the Padres have absolutely owned them at Truist Park since 2018. So they feel really comfortable there for whatever reason. Fine.
Feel comfortable everywhere except
fair enough. They really are. You know, we're going to put that to the test in Cincinnati again starting today. But no, it's a good point that you make, Paulie. Yeah, I really had no issue. How about Logan Gillespie coming in, getting called up, and coming in and getting huge outs too, keeping the squad right in it. Crony had a chance to do something late, didn't come through. It's fine. It happens. Manny had a chance to do something late, didn't come through. It's fine. It happens. Chris Sale was spectacular yesterday. So I'm just not going to get upset about it, especially after how the first game ended. Yesterday was such a big fat bowl of gravy to me, the second game. Just a big trough.
We don't complain about series wins.
I do not complain about taking 3 of 4 from the Atlanta Braves. Just don't.
Yeah, and they take the series. It's their 5th series won in their past 6.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's been consistent outside of the 3 games against the Rockies. It's been good, consistent play for nearly a month now.
You know the other thing, too? You guys felt it. I know you did. You felt it. You felt no, we absolutely are coming back. We are absolutely, they talk about, that's one of the messages that Schilt has preached. I know it's probably driven people crazy. Manny's preached it too in interviews. Keep giving yourselves opportunities to win the game, and you are going to win some of those games. It happened in game 1. It happened against the Dodgers. It happened a bunch. Hell, it even happened against the Rockies. Let's be completely honest with ourselves. They gave themselves plenty of opportunities in game 1 and game 2 to win. Game 3 was a turd, admittedly. And Mike Schilt came on the air Friday and said, yeah, that sucked, essentially. That one, he goes, I'm disappointed in. Game 1, game 2, you gave yourself opportunities to win the game. Last year's team, they don't even do that. There's no late rallies. There's no late push. There's no chance. They're not working
ABs.
The
general problem is obviously falling behind too often.
That's it. That's the thing. That's what's been killing them.
And you always point to starting pitching when that happens, and clearly it's been an issue. It's just the inconsistency. They've all had good starts, everybody in the Padres' starting rotation. Sometimes it's 1, sometimes it's 2, then they have a bad one. Yu Darvish is on a great roll right now. Dylan Cease was earlier, but even he, as he showed in game 1, is certainly not at the consistency level that the Padres would love to see from their starting rotation. You know, and you're not going to get consistent great starts every single time from every single starting pitcher, but so far it feels like there's been too many games where they're instantly facing 2-0, 3-0 deficits early in the game. And while they have come back on some of them and they've given themselves opportunities in most of them, you're still going to end up like game 2 yesterday, losing a lot of those games when you fall behind early.
I mean, they're swing away. They're a swing away in the 8th. Swing away.
They were
absolutely a swing away in that game. So it's not there. They didn't roll over for anybody. I'm very encouraged by some of the things I see from this team.
The two real inexplicable stats right now for the San Diego Padres, and maybe it's simply because it's fairly early in the season, although they're 50 games in now, third of the way through.
Brett Boone, you know what you are after 50 games.
The home road splits are very unusual. Going 10-16 at home, 6 games under 500, 15-9 on the road, 6 games above 500. You don't see teams with better road records than home records that often in Major League Baseball.
Give me some Higgins math here. If they just played 500 at home, what would their record be right now?
They would be 28-22, six games above 500, and solidly in the second wild card spot in the National League.
Damn, we are almost a third of the way through this bad boy.
The other even more inexplicable stat, though, for your San Diego Padres. I calculated it yesterday. So they have played a total of 16 series so far this year. Eight of them have been against teams that currently have winning records. Eight of them have been against teams that currently have losing records. So you've played a real nice mix. You're 500, so you've played eight teams that you should be better than, eight teams that have been better than you. Against the eight teams that have winning records, the Padres in those series have six series wins, one series loss, and one series tie. In the eight series they have played against the teams with losing records, the teams that you should be beating, the Padres have two series wins, four series losses, and two series ties. They have been much better against the better teams in baseball and much worse against the worst teams in baseball so far this season. It's not just the Rockies, which is accounts for two of those, a split and, of course, the sweep loss last week. It's every single time now, teams that they have played better than, they play worse than, and teams that they have played worse than, they play better than. Doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, it really doesn't. It doesn't. And I think, you know, you're going to hear, what you're going to hear, though, is, oh, we played down to our competition. Okay. I mean, I guess the record would bear that out, yes. Like, the record says that that's what you do. So until you can flip it.
Stop doing that.
So, yeah, it's pretty simple, guys. Just stop doing that.
Simply stop doing it.
Simply stop. If I were them, I would simply stop losing to bad teams. It's just that easy, right? So I know it's not that simple. But, yeah, man, those are the kind of things that you lament. Right? Those are the ones that you sit on the front porch and scratch your chin and go, if only, son of a bitch. If only
they had, now that's the question. It's not the home road split. If only they had played 500 at ball. Home. If they had just played 500 ball against the teams with losing records like the Cardinals, the Rockies, the Giants, the Reds, the Blue Jays, they'd be about 10 games above 500 at this point. Just 500 ball against the bad teams.
That's right. That's right.
They'd be cruising at this point, off to a fantastic start this year. All you'd have to be is mediocre against the worst teams. Now, you want to have a winning record against those teams. Those are the teams you're supposed to make hay against. You're supposed to have a winning record against those clubs. If you had just been 500, I think the Padres would be maybe 29-21 right now. If they had just played average, mediocre ball against the lower level teams through the first 50 games.
And like I said, those are the things that I think make this fan base the most insane. And I count me right there along with you guys. I mean, that there's no reason for that. I mean, you're better than these guys, and until you can flip that script, I think people will give you the label of you play down to your competition. And you know, again, that's going to be put to the test this week against Cincinnati, and it'll be put to the test
again.
The team
that has not been playing well. They've dropped to last place in the NL Central.
Yep,
you already did take two out of three. It's one of the two series that you've won against a team with a current losing record. But can you do it again? You're on the road. You should be able to. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, it's there's a lot to think about with this team, and until you flip that narrative, man, that's what the narrative is going to be, is that you can't win home ball games and you can't beat bad teams. Those feel like a couple of things that should just be there. Like, that should be expected to be at least be 500 against bad teams. We're not asking for 750.
It'd be disappointing to be 500 against those teams. That's not good. 500 isn't good enough.
In a normal season, yeah, you'd be bummed if you finished 500 against bad teams. So, I mean,
and right now,
what's their record against bad teams?
They are four games under 500.
Four games under 500. Yeah. So, I mean, this is where a nice sweep would really help you. For a lot of reasons.
It would. We'll see. All right. When we come back, I want to start talking about the early game. That was the exciting and fun one, the come-from-behind victory, the new setup man for your San Diego Padres as well, all coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.